Good morning. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. I'm glad you're here. It's the seventh Sunday of Easter. It's the last Sunday in the Easter season. I know Easter seems like a long time ago, but we are still celebrating today that Christ is risen. He is risen. You're a little out of practice. That's all right. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. Hallelujah. You know, very good. You're going to do well today. So, you know, some people say all the church ever does is ask for donations. And that's not true. Sometimes we ask for money, too. But you know why? Because mission costs money. It costs money to do the mission that Jesus gave us to do. For example, in the gospel reading today, Jesus prays that we would all be one. And so we have this vision, this dream, that on Sunday, June 30th, we're going to get together for praise in the park. People who don't normally get together are going to come together. We're going to invite friends and neighbors and maybe even people we don't like to come and join us. We're going to have food, and we want to have fun. We want to have games, big inflatable games, a bounce house, and all kinds of stuff. And I told you last week, we found out that it costs $1,750 to get those inflatables and other things here, and I asked if you guys could help out this week. This week, we got $700 in, plus another $500 has been promised to us, so that's $1,200, we're 70% of the way there. Or, if you're a visual learner, we're 70% inflated. Okay? So, we'd really like it if you want to have a very happy pastor. And I'm sorry to bring this picture out again, but I got to do it for Jesus. If you want a very happy pastor, help us to get to 100%. Anything we get over $1,750 will go towards helping to pay for the food. The beach ball is almost inflated. The kids are almost out of school. Stand and greet your neighbors and wish them a happy summer. And you can remain standing. I invite you to join me for the brief order of confession and forgiveness printed in the bulletin. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we sing our gathering hymn number 627. Thank you. So recently, my dad got his very first smartphone, and it has changed his life. And it's changed my life, too, because now it's much easier for him to type. And so all of a sudden, I started getting these random texts. Like the other day, all of a sudden, I got a text that said, "How often do you clean your hummingbird feeder?" Like, okay. A couple days later, I got another text, "Where do I buy Easy Pass?" So it's like this disruption that comes, but it's a good disruption because I like knowing. It's like, okay, Dad's working on the hummingbird feeder. He's getting ready for vacation. I know what's going on. So there are things that happen in life that are disruptions, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. But despite all the disruptions and all of the changes in our lives, there's one thing that's always constant. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Please join me in the prayer of the day. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into your one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated for the reading.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Acts 16, 25 through 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Here ends the reading.
And I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me for the children's message. Come on up. You don't even have to sit down today. Come up here. All right. So good to have you guys here. Okay, so we're going to play a game, okay? And this is how it works. When I say go, you repeat everything I say, and you do everything I do, okay? And when I say stop, then you stop doing it, all right? So actually, here, why don't we make a circle, okay, or an oval. You come here. You guys come around. Okay. Ready? So when I say go, you do everything I do. Okay? Go. The human hand has 27 bones.
27 bones.
The human foot has 26 bones. In our hands and in our feet, in our hands and in our feet, we have 126 bones. In our whole body, we have 226
bones.
I'm losing some of you. In our hands and in our feet, we have half of our bones. Okay, I have a question for you. Stop. How many bones are in a human hand? That's right, 27. How many bones are in a human foot? 26 is right. How many bones are in our hands and our feet? 126 is right. How many bones are in our whole body? In our whole body. 226, that's right. So, half of our bones are found where? In our hands and our feet. Did you know that before you came today? I think you learned something today, didn't you? And how did you learn it? You learned it by doing what I did and by saying what I said. So because you guys did a good job, you get a bone. A Scooby snack, okay? So here's the thing. This is how Jesus taught his disciples and how he teaches us. We are supposed to imitate him. And if we imitate him, we do what he do and says what he says, then we know, we learn how to love. Okay? So everybody, whole congregation, let's bow our heads, fold our hands, repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus, that we can do what you do and say what you say and know how to love. Amen. All right, there you go. There's a bone. Thanks for coming up. I know they look like dog treats, but they're not. Honest, you can trust me. There you go. Thanks for coming up. How many bones in the human hand? Very good. All right. Let's stand for the Alleluia. Gospel today is written in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. How would you react if you saw a car with no driver driving down the interstate? That's what this YouTuber wanted to find out.
Hey guys, for this video, I'm going to take my invisible driver idea onto the road using my car's autopilot feature. Let's see how this turns out.
Please don't try this at home. But that last guy, he's got it right. They're saying that this is the thing of the future, that soon it will be common to see driverless cars on the road. In fact, they're already on the roads in cities across the country: Boston, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Phoenix. Driverless cars are already being tested and used on our roadways. According to my relative, Josh, who lives in Chicago, pictured in front of his portrait at the Art Institute of Chicago. That's not really his portrait. Josh works at a company in Chicago called Here Technologies. And at his company, they make the digital maps that driverless vehicles are using to get around and to navigate places. And Josh says self-driving cars are here to stay, that his beard will be gone before self-driving cars are gone. So here's my question. Would you ride in a self-driving car? What do you think? Let's take a quick poll. Raise your hand if you would ride in a self-driving car. Raise your hand if you would not ride in a self-driving car. Raise your hand if you just don't know. Okay, all right. Very few yeses. So you are in the majority of opinion. Even though the idea is that among many other things with self-driving cars, it will give mobility to people who don't necessarily have mobility right now. And I like the idea that when the time comes for me to have to stop driving, that I'll have other options for mobility and freedom. The other thing is, with self-driving cars, they have the sensors that are constantly scanning for dangers and hazards and obstructions 360 degrees all the way around the car all the time. Do you do that? Can you do that? Or do you get distracted once in a while? The truth is, the statistics show that 80% of traffic accidents are caused by human error, and in fact 94% of traffic fatalities are caused by human error. So it's conceivable that well-made self-driving cars could reduce accidents and save lives. But nothing's perfect, right? We saw tragically last year a woman died in a tragic, deadly crash with a self-driving Uber down in Tempe, Arizona, which has brought a moral dilemma for the people who program self-driving cars. What do they do when this happens?
But of course, this technology isn't perfect, and inevitably, these cars will be put in a situation where a crash is unavoidable. And in some cases, the car will have to choose between two evils, like crashing into pedestrians or putting the car's passenger at risk. In that case, what should it do? In a study, researchers found that most people would rather the car sacrifice the passengers for the common good. That said, these same people would rather ride in a car that protected its passengers instead. So there's a bit of an issue here, because what these people want self-driving cars to be like isn't what they would want themselves.
We are interesting beings, we people. We want to protect others, but not if we have to give up some control. We want to make our own mistakes, even if it means we make a lot more of them. There are many, many challenges to self-driving vehicles, and it's not a done deal yet. There are many challenges, but probably one of the biggest challenges about self-driving cars is how we feel about them and how we think about them. It's scary to think about having to give up some of our control. And it's a disruption to the way that we live and the way that we do things now, and it is a big change. And yet, all of these companies are investing millions, billions of dollars into developing self-driving vehicles. They're banking that we are going to get used to the idea, that eventually we'll accept the disruption and we will embrace the change, just as we have throughout history. I mean, when you think about it, democracy totally disrupted monarchy. And yet, I don't see us going back to having a king or queen anytime soon. We accepted the disruption. We embraced the change. Thomas Edison, with his light bulb, totally disrupted lanterns and lantern making. And yet, are you willing to give up your light bulbs and your electricity? We've accepted the disruption, and we have embraced the change. Automobiles completely disrupted the horse breeding industry, but I didn't see any of you come in your horse and buggy this morning. You may have passed some Mennonites on your way here, right? But you didn't bring the horse and buggy. We've accepted the disruption, and we have embraced the change. My dad was a printer for 35 years. 30 years he ran a printing press at Controlifax in Waterloo. 5 years he ran a printing press at Congdon in Cedar Falls. And then after 35 years, along came desktop publishing, computers. And Dad had to find a new career. He ended up becoming a regional maintenance supervisor for a chain of motels. He loved his second career much more than he loved his first career. And today he spends a lot of time on his computer, and he's spending my inheritance on printer ink, okay? Which he prints on his desktop, okay? Dad has accepted the disruption and embraced the change. Disruption happens. Every once in a while, something comes along that changes things. It's a game changer, and that's not necessarily bad. Jesus was the ultimate disruption in history. We see in our gospel reading today that in the Gospel of John, Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples. Soon he'll be arrested in the garden, and he will be tried, and he will be crucified, right? But right now, he's with his disciples, and in his last moments of freedom, he's praying. The John chapter 17 is divided into three parts. Chapters 1 through 5, Jesus is praying for himself. Verses 6 through 19, he's praying for his disciples. And verses 20 through 26, he's praying for the future believers. That's today. In the last moments of his freedom, in the last moments before he goes to be crucified, what's on Jesus' lips? A prayer for us. Across all of that time and space today, Jesus, he's praying for us. And his prayer is a total disruption to our way of life and the way that we do things. Because what's his prayer? That they may all be one. That despite our differences, despite our disagreements, despite our denominations, Jesus is praying that we would love each other, that we would work together, that we would embody his love to the world, that instead of having to be in control of everything ourselves, we would let Jesus take the lead and love would be our guide. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in jail for trying to share that love of God with other people, and they're there, and they're in the city of Philippi. Now, ancient Philippi was built by Caesar Augustus in Macedonia, and it was as a reward for his military officers. He wanted to thank them for standing by him and fighting with him. It was a retirement community for the emperor's friends. It was built to be like a miniature Rome, and in fact, to this day, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site because it has this amazing Roman architecture. Only the best and the most well-connected served in Philippi. And so the jailer, the soldier who was sent to work at that jail, must have been very highly thought of in his field. He must have been connected. He must have been an honorable man. And then all of a sudden comes a disruption.
Suddenly, there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened.
And assuming that everyone had escaped, that he had failed, the jailer, knowing that his career, his reputation, his honor were all gone in that dark midnight hour, could only think of one solution, one thing to do. But then came a disruption. He heard the voice of Paul say, "Stop! We're all here. Don't hurt yourself." And then came the biggest disruption of all. Paul and Silas told the jailer about the unconditional love of God in Jesus, about how his value isn't determined by how well he does his job. His value isn't determined by his failures. It's not determined by anything else that he does. That his value is determined by what Jesus did for him. That disruption not only saved his life, it changed his life. Because from that moment, he decided that he's not in control of everything, that he's going to let Jesus take the lead, and he's going to let God's love be in control. And the ultimate disruption is Easter morning. On Easter morning, when Jesus rose from the dead, he came out of that tomb. It changed everything. It changed everything as we know it. And 2,000 years later, we still look at and think about the resurrection as though we're looking at a driverless car for the first time going, "What? What? Can we believe it? Can we trust it? Is this really for me? It's been 2,000 years. Maybe it's time to accept the disruption, embrace the change. Maybe it's time to give up a little bit of that control, to let love be in control, to let Jesus lead the way."
He is risen. Three small words that brought the collective pace of humanity to an absolute standstill. He is risen. Three words that shattered prisons. Words that shook the earth's foundations. Words that transformed a sense of utter despair into cries of pure joy and ecstasy. Echoes of history's greatest triumph that still shape our reality. Even today, we're assaulted by constant distraction, countless sources waging war for our attention, yet three words pierce the noise. In our hunger for validation, our desperate pleas for love and attention, three words calm our anxiety. In a universe spinning at breakneck speed, its inhabitants locked in an existential crisis, three words proclaim the purpose of our existence. He is risen. Lay hold of this truth and embrace the peace within. Yesterday, fear reigned in our hearts. Yesterday, we sat in crippling darkness. Yesterday, we suffered abuse and all the accusations of a broken world. But today, our King, our Healer, our Defender is risen. And And this reality doesn't merely accompany us on a meaningless journey. This changes everything. For you see, if he is risen, then all other pursuits become secondary. All of our failures become insignificant. All criticisms and condemnations become irrelevant. There is only his word, his mission, and his infinite, unconditional love for you. Because he is risen, we look to tomorrow. Tomorrow we will stop defining our worth through status and social media. Tomorrow we will together build an everlasting kingdom. Tomorrow and every day after, we will dance in the radiance of a redeeming Savior who crushed death and set us free. There is nothing that Jesus cannot overcome. We know this because he lives. We know this because he is risen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing. Our next song is either in the bulletin or on the screen.
Raise you up on the last.
And let's proclaim together what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed printed in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. Risen Lord, we struggle to accept the fullness of what your resurrection means in our lives. Help us to let go of our fears and our failures so that we can do what you do and say what you say, that we can be loved to a world that so desperately needs it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray that you would protect and support the women and men who currently serve in the armed forces and their families. We pray especially for Alex Binger, Kim Hall, and Robson Shanklin. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Risen Lord, bring your healing and your hope to all who are in need. We pray that you especially be with Carlene Lau, Carol Tyler, Bob and Marge Gardner, Shirley Hall, Sandra Link, Dan Carey, BJ Gifford. Lord, give your peace and your strength to the families of Keith Quaid and Sandy Myers at their deaths. We also pray for those affected by storms this week and all who grieve in any way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those others who are on our hearts as we name them silently before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all say, Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And let's share that peace with one another. And you may be seated as we continue with the offering. We sing the offering song in the bulletin. And please join me in the offertory prayer printed in the bulletin. O Lord our God, maker of all things, through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And we pray together the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Everybody is invited to come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ. We have both wine and grape juice available. The grape juice is white and in the center of the tray of cups. We have gluten-free wafers here at the organ site. Anybody who's not communing today is welcome to come forward to receive a blessing. We have the home communion kits on the altar today. We are very, very thankful for our communion visitors who take this meal out to many other people in our community so that they can receive the love of Christ too. Jesus is the host. We are his guests. The food of God for the people of God. Come, for all is ready. And you may be seated. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. I want to say thank you today to Andy and Diane Melrose for the altar flowers today in memory of their son Mike. And thanks to Leona Howe for the radio broadcast today. We really appreciate it. So, you know, some people say that all the church ever asks them to do is to give them money. And that's not true. Sometimes we ask you to buy stuff, too. Like today, because, say it with me, mission costs money. The youth are having a bake sale today to raise money for their mission trip to South Dakota. So buy baked goods for Jesus and help our youth share God's love with people in South Dakota. Let's stand for the benediction. May Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. And we sing our ascending hymn number 547. Share the good news. Thanks be to God.